Scripture I'm going to read this morning is found in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. God, thank you for today, for this morning, for this gathered group of people, and for your word, and most importantly, for the story and for the good news that your word proclaims to us. So now may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of every one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. That's a beautiful way to start any body of work. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. It makes you ask the question, well, what does the light reveal, right? So we're walking in darkness and we see a great light. That means that what was once in the dark, and maybe you couldn't see, has now been revealed to us. So the question that I'm asking as we start this beautiful proclamation, that the people walking in darkness, I mean, when you're walking in darkness and you see a great light, it's good news, especially if you have a house full of Legos on the floor, just waiting to bite you and injure you. The light is good news because it reveals your steps. So what does the light reveal in Isaiah 9? On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as soldiers rejoice when dividing the plunder. So the first part of verse 3, you have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. So there's a multiplication of people. Enlarging the nation means that there's more people and more land. And how many of us think it's good news when you hear that there's going to be more people, right? When you hear that somebody is going to have a baby, or you get some sort of good news that your family is growing in some way, or that a new family is coming to Christmas that hasn't been coming for years, right? This multiplication of people brings us great joy. Enlarging our nation, it does increase our joy. And then a couple details about that joy. They rejoice about two things. As people rejoice at the harvest, harvest time, right? We get to eat. And we get to sell and make our living, right? That is what, you know, we rejoiced at our harvest, and we rejoice at plunder, as soldiers rejoice when dividing the plunder. So food and new things. How many people have experienced some good food and some new things within the last couple days, right? That is, so there actually is connection between Christmas and gift giving, and it's not all about Santa. There's actually biblical connection between rejoicing at good food, good meals, harvest, celebrating the good gifts of the land and the good gifts that we've been given, and plunder, the stuff that we get. And it's okay if that stuff brings us joy. We don't have to feel bad about it. We just need to not get caught up in it. So I thought, well, what better example of somebody receiving great joy at plunder than our dear friend? I don't know if you've met her before. You're going to have to unmute channel 2 or 3 back there. Whichever one says computer.
Hey. I'm really excited to share with you something I got. Okay, I went to Kohl's today. I had to make a couple returns. Stuff didn't fit. Surprisingly, it was a little too big. Thank you. I know some of you may be thinking the opposite. Shame. No shame. It's all love. It's all love. Okay, so here's what I found when I was at Kohl's, and I'd like to say that I bought this for my son that would really, really want it, and let's be honest, he'll probably confiscate it from me. Confiscate? That's a word, right? Okay, so he'll probably take it from me. However, this is mine. Like, when it's said and done, at the end of the day, this is mine that I bought, and I'm going to keep it for my own. You can see it kind of has Star Wars. Oh, you're getting a little hint. Okay, so you want to see what I got? It's so great. I can't wait to show you. Okay, this is part of my birthday joy, still rejoicing in my birthday. And so here's what I got. I'm going to take it out of the box, and I can't wait to show you. Okay, I'm in a parking lot, and people are literally looking at me like crazy. I don't even care. Okay, so here it is. Hold on. It may be a little tight. It may be tight on me. I gotta undo it just a little bit. Hold on. Stay patient, people. Stay patient. This is gonna be worth it. I promise. Maybe not, but it's worth it to me. And I had to share with my friends on the internet webs. So here's what I'm having trouble getting it. Okay, patient. All right, we're doing good. Okay, so this is what I got. Once again, this is for me. Not for Duncan, not for Cadence. I mean, I'll let them play with it. I'm not a bad mom. I'm not a jerk. But in all honesty, at the end of the day, it doesn't go in their toy box. It goes in my room. So here we go. I got to take off my glasses for it. Oh, naturally. Okay, here we go. So, yes! Now watch when my mouth actually moves. That's not me making that noise, it's the mask! Here, listen.
Continue laughing and rejoicing for another couple minutes on that video. So why do you think that video was viewed like 100 million times? And I'm not exaggerating when I say 100 million times. Any thoughts? She's rejoicing. We're laughing, right? We tend to, like, tamper down our joy, right? Getting really excited about something makes us vulnerable, right? Because what if somebody thinks that the thing that we're so excited about is stupid, right? It does. It makes us a little bit vulnerable. It's easier to just kind of pretend like it's no big deal. But when somebody is, like, really just loving something and completely unashamed and completely unhinged in their joy over it, it's something to behold. And we don't see it very often. And, you know, this lady with her silly Chewbacca mask tapped into something, and she mentions, you know, she mentions joy, not just happiness, but joy in there. And of course, that seems silly, but, you know, joy comes from a deeper place, but we can find joy in very small, little seemingly inconsequential things. Oh, that's funny. The light reveals joy to us. The light reveals a new reality of liberation and peace. The yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor has been shattered. That's good news. Right? The people who have been in bondage, the people who have been enslaved with a yoke, with a bar across their shoulders, all those burdens have been shattered. That is the cause for joy. Every warrior's boot in battle, every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. It's a symbol of peace, right? The warrior's boots are being burned. The garments of war are being thrown into the fire. This is a new reality that's being celebrated at Christmas time. We celebrate liberation and peace. And it's all because of this child. So all of that is prelude to the part that you maybe have heard sung in Handel's Messiah or elsewhere. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. Right? We've heard this before? Okay. You'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. All that description, that son, that child who is born, is the one who brings all that joy, who brings the harvest and the plunder and the new reality of liberation and peace. The people rejoice because this son, this child who will be king, has been born. So you've heard Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You've heard those? Okay, I just want to look at the adjectives that describe this child. We're just going to split apart for fun, the adjectives and the nouns. This child is wonderful, mighty, everlasting, and peaceful, peacemaker. Wonderful. It's one of those words that we go to when we're just trying to describe something that's, well, pretty great. But we don't feel like great is a good enough word, so we say wonderful. Mighty. What do you think of when you think of mighty? What is might? Strength. Yeah. Strength, potential, ability to get things done. Mighty. Mightiness is like, it's strength and it's authority, right? It's this ability to get things done. Everlasting. Right? It's not something that's going to be over in a week. Right? And that sometimes differentiates that from our excitement about our Chewbacca masks. It's because it is everlasting. You can only replace the batteries in those things so many times before they completely stop working. And peaceful, and a peacemaker. This is the son who is born, Jesus, our Lord. And he's a counselor. Any thoughts when you hear the word counselor? What is, and besides maybe a professional counselor, but what is a counselor? What does a counselor do for you? Gives advice. What else?
Guidance.
Guidance gives guidance.
Listens.
Yeah. So he's a wonderful counselor, one who gives guidance, one who listens, one who gives good advice. God. Huh. Mighty God. That's well, fairly self-explanatory. God, the ruler of all, the creator of all, the one in whom we live and move and have our being. He's a father. Now, it's interesting to think of a newborn baby, a son, a child, as a father, right? Because obviously, a newborn baby physically is not yet a father. And yet, what we see when we look at Jesus, even before he becomes an adult and you know, he never actually becomes a father in the human sense. He is every one of our fathers, though. And he's a prince. We have that regal, royal authority. A prince who has authority over us. So this son, this king, who carries all these wonderful adjectives and is all of these amazing things, brings to the throne of David something that's been missing for a very long time. And there's two words, and they're all over the Old Testament. He brings justice and righteousness. David's line has been around for a while. There have been a lot of kings, his sons and grandsons and great-grandsons, and on and on and on and on and on. But somewhere along the line, they lose this commitment to justice and righteousness. And so there is no peace. And so there is no joy in the land. But this son that comes, he's going to bring justice and peace. So that's what, you know, shattering the yoke of the oppressor, shattering the yoke that's on these people who are suffering. Well, that's a beautiful description of God's justice. And righteousness, you know, people will live in accordance with the will of God. They won't hurt one another, destroy one another. So ultimately, we're called to walk the child's steps. Right? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and we're called to walk in that child's steps. I think I was 14 or so when What Would Jesus Do bracelets became the biggest thing. You remember seeing those? The little cloth bands that said WWJD on them. And when I saw that, the first time I saw one of those, I thought, that thing will solve all of my problems. I seriously thought if I wore that, I would never forget. Oh yeah, in every single situation, I need to do what Jesus would do. Well, it turns out it's not quite that simple. And sometimes we legitimately don't know exactly what Jesus would do. But for the most part, it's a really good question to ask. How can we walk in the steps of Jesus? So we start with this joy. So you tap into whatever joy you're experiencing. And hopefully at Christmas, you're experiencing some great joy. You're getting to experience time with loved ones. Maybe you're getting to watch people. I have the gift at this time of life, watching little ones open presents and be irrationally excited. And that's a beautiful thing. And it brings me maybe more real joy than it does to them, even in their irrational excitement. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So because of our great joy in Christ, we get to live a counter-narrative. Counter-narrative, because liberation and peace is not the norm in our world. But when we encounter the enslaved and the wounded, when we encounter people in our lives who need to be freed, and that, you know, that sort of bondage can look a lot of different ways. It could be somebody who needs some advice and needs some help, needs a listening ear, needs just a little help, a meal, a hot meal, an invitation, peace. Sometimes there's simple steps that could be taken to bring peace in relationships, but everybody's too stubborn or scared or proud to take those steps. Right? I know I used Home Alone as an example last night, but on the way home from Christmas Eve service, we have Home Alone playing in our van because we have this vehicle that can play movies now. We don't have access to a screen. I'm just listening to it, just so you know. The driver is not watching a movie. The screen is behind me. But I've seen Home Alone enough times that I know exactly what's on the screen when I hear it. we have this 8-year-old kid and this old man sitting in a church while a choir sings O Holy Night, and it's this beautiful thing. And this 8-year-old finds out that this old man hasn't talked to his son for years and years and years. And this 8-year-old boy, of course, this is movie magic, but he emboldens him, tells him, why don't you know, what's the worst that can happen if you talk to him? What if he doesn't want to talk to me? What if he rejects me? He's already rejected you. You know, what's the worst can happen? It can happen again, I guess, but at least you tried. And of course, the movie ends with the old man and his son reunited, and they wave through the window at the end. But sometimes it really is that simple. Sometimes it takes one person swallowing their pride and living out peace. And we can live out that peace. And we can help one another and give one another the strength to make those reconciliations, because that's what the Prince of Peace came here for. And we can also live out another counter-narrative of justice and righteousness for the oppressed and the marginalized, where there are people who are being brought down, all kinds of people, who are being oppressed in all sorts of ways. We can bring freedom. We can advocate on their behalf. We can be their strength. We can give voice to the voiceless, and we can listen, and we can care, and we can be present. And it's all because of our great joy in Christ. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. It's the greatest gift, a miraculous gift. May that gift embolden us to live in the steps of that child. Let's pray. Great God, you bring light into the darkness. And in many ways, we all walk in a darkness, but we have seen a great light, and that light is your Son, Jesus. Continue to shine that light into our lives, and may we be beacons of that light for the world around us, in a workplace, in our schools, even here at church. May we shine your light to one another. For you love the world. You so love the world that you gave your one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.